Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1999. The value of talk.
Hello. If there's any good thing to come out of the Clinton gang's murderous expedition against the Serbs, it is the stark demonstration it provides of the total corruption of the political system which governs America. I'm talking about the whole system, not just the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party proved what it is made of back during the impeachment and trial of Clinton. Its members kept their eyes on the polls and continued to support a leader they knew to be a liar and a rapist and had good reason to suspect of treason as well in his dealings with China. The Democrats traditionally have been the war party. Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Lyndon Johnson, Bill Clinton. Starting a war and killing a bunch of people in some other country seems to be the Democrats' favorite ploy for getting the voters' minds off of domestic problems or for paying off some of their behind-the-scenes supporters. Now we have the spectacle of Republican politicians trying to outdo the Democrats in warmongering, calling for an invasion and military occupation of Serbia by U.S. ground forces. It's almost as if they're afraid of being considered wimps by the voters if they're not even bloodthirstier than the Democrats in their statements about Serbia. Actually, it's not the voters they're concerned about. It's the Jews. Pick up any publication by a Jewish organization, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, the American Jewish Committee, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, which is an umbrella group including hundreds of other Jewish organizations. You name it, and you'll see the Jews howling for Serb blood. You remember last week, I reported to you that the American Legion, America's largest veterans organization, had issued a resolution calling for an immediate halt to the war against Serbia and the removal of all U.S. military forces from the Balkans. Contrast that with a statement issued by the Jewish War Veterans of America. This all-Jewish group has taken a stand opposite to that of the American Legion and urged an intensification of the bombing. Now, so far as I'm aware, Slobodan Milosevic has never said or done anything against the Jews. He just happens to be in their way. His country is in the way of their program for a new world order. They've made it quite clear to every politician in Washington that they want Serbia gotten out of their way, and the politicians are scrambling to oblige, Republicans as well as Democrats. Arizona's Republican Senator John McCain is a good example of the type of Republican politician who's hot to kill as many Serbs as will please the Jews, and to do it in the name of the American people while patting himself on the back and pretending to be a patriot. Senator McCain seems to believe that because he was a POW during the Vietnam War, no one will question his motives. If Senator McCain says that we ought to kill as many Serbs as possible, then it must be because that will be good for America, right? Wrong. It's because whenever the Jews whisper in his ear, jump, Senator McCain whispers back, how high? All it would take now to make him a pacifist on Yugoslavia is for the Jews to decide that they really don't need to get rid of Milosevic after all. But that isn't likely. It's pretty clear that their long-range strategy is to cripple Serbia as a prelude to doing the same to anyone else who gets in their way. Eventually, they want to put Russia in a position where it won't be able to resist their plans for that country. You know, it's possible for patriots to disagree on policy matters. It's possible for one patriotic legislator to believe that more money ought to be spent on missiles and aircraft carriers, and for another to believe that the money ought to be spent on education, say, or on public health measures instead of on the military, and for both men to have America's best interests at heart. That's possible if you can find two patriotic legislators in the U.S. Congress these days. But no legislator who will let his country be led into a foolish and unnecessary war which does not serve America's interests is a patriot by any standard. No politician who will watch this happening without protest is a patriot. But really, what can you expect in a country where the top politician will sell America's most sensitive military secrets to China for a sufficiently large cash donation to his reelection fund? With a president like that in the White House, a president that the politicians are afraid to throw out because his polls are up, we shouldn't be surprised to see America's armed forces being used to advance the private interests of a small minority at the expense of everyone else. There is a saying to the effect that every country will have the government that its people deserve. And I guess that's as true of the United States as any other country. We can blame it on the controlled media, but the fact is that we have an electorate which thinks Bill Clinton is an okay guy. Sure, that's what the media bosses taught them. But anybody who can be made to believe that Bill Clinton shouldn't simply be dragged out of the White House and hanged has serious problems that can't be blamed only on the controlled media. These are the 400-pound housewives with plastic hair curlers that you see in the supermarkets with their slack-jawed, beer-bellied husbands stocking up on enough beer every Friday evening to get them through a whole weekend of TV ball games. And these are the airheaded twits who buy the celebrity tabloids at the checkout stands. 50 years ago, when only 10% of the white population were like that, we didn't worry about it. But when 20% have become like that, and the Jews have organized them into a majority voting coalition with the non-whites, we have a lethal problem. To state it in stark and simple terms, America will not survive. Certainly not America as we have known it. About all we can realistically strive for now is the survival of some white Americans, and much more important, for the survival of our race on this planet. If we still had an electorate consisting of a white majority with normal intelligence, normal judgment, decent standards, and some sense of responsibility, we might hope that this white majority could elect some patriotic leadership which would strip the Jews of their media control and get the country back on a proper course. But that simply will not happen now. It is only self-delusion to plan on getting ourselves out of this mess through the electoral process as long as the Jews retain control of our mass media and the bulk of our electorate remains what it is. And the bulk of the electorate certainly will not improve of its own accord. It will only become more degraded with each passing year. On the other hand, if responsible Americans controlled the media, we could work out a long-term plan for dealing with a degraded electorate. And meanwhile, patriotic media could control the slobs as well as the Jewish media do now. But imagining that we can take television away from the Jews is as much self-delusion as imagining that we can elect leaders not under their control. The Jews fully understand the power of the media, and they certainly will not relinquish control voluntarily. Only a revolution can free the mass media from their death grip. These are important conclusions, and I believe it's worth our time to restate them. We have two very fundamental problems in the United States. Jewish control of the mass media, and a degenerate and irresponsible electorate which can be manipulated totally by the mass media. Both of these problems have crept up on us during this century, but they are real and they are decisive. There is no easy way around them. I've been warning about the danger of Jewish media control for 30 years. When I began my warnings, we still had a majority white electorate, which may have left much to be desired, but at least it would not have tolerated the sort of shenanigans Bill Clinton has inflicted on us. The signal that the electorate had passed the point of no return came from Clinton's popularity polls during his impeachment and trial, when a majority of the voters told us that they still liked Clinton, even after his lies had been exposed, and they wanted him to remain as president. They liked his smile, and he felt their pain, and that's all that was really important. So we will not vote our way out of our mess. And as long as we keep trying to, our situation will continue becoming worse. I know that there are many decent people who still are not ready to accept this conclusion. They will say, oh yes, we know the situation is bad, but not all the politicians are crooks. Not every politician is in the Jews' pockets. Senator so-and-so is a good man, and Congressman such-and-such actually has spoken out against Clinton's war. We will vote for Senator so-and-so and Congressman such-and-such, and they will get us out of this mess. Well, I'm sorry, but they won't. Voting won't do the job. Of course, you could say to me that talking won't do the job either. You could remind me that I've been talking for 30 years, and the situation has just continued to get worse. And you're right. Talking won't get the job done either. But there's one difference between the effects of voting and talking. While you've been voting, the crop of politicians has been getting worse and worse. There may still be one or two who say some of the right things, but 30 years ago there were more of them. 30 years ago the Senate would have convicted Clinton and removed him from office. On the other hand, when I began talking 30 years ago, almost no one was listening. My message was too radical for nearly everyone. My talking hasn't changed the government, or the facts of Jewish media control, or the declining quality of the U.S. population. But at least many more people are listening today than were listening 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I wasn't on the radio. 30 years ago, I didn't have a worldwide audience on the Internet. And today, although the essence of my message hasn't changed, it no longer seems too radical to a lot of people. Today, many more people are listening, and many more people are agreeing. And although my talking alone won't get the job done, talking is one essential part of what's needed to get the job done. Another essential part, unfortunately, is the sort of thing the Jews are doing to the Serbs now. I can talk until I'm blue in the face about the Jews' plans for a new world order and the dangers of Jewish media control and the corruption of our political system, and hundreds of thousands of people can listen and agree with me, and it's still just talk. Even to the people who understand and believe what I'm telling them, it's not quite real. But every time Madeleine Albright shoots up another passenger train in Serbia and kills 30 or 40 women and children, every time she drops another load of cluster bombs on a hospital in Kosovo, while the politicians keep sitting on their hands, afraid to say anything because the Jews are still beating the war drums, the reality of what I have been saying is brought home. Every time General Wesley Tan Clark, NATO's Jewish military commander, bombs another village and slaughters another 100 or so civilians, then tries to lie his way out of it and blame it on Slobodan Milosevic, people remember my predictions of this war more than 2 years ago, at the time Madeleine Albright became Secretary of State. They remember what I had been telling them about Jewish war plans and the lies of the Jewish media and the corruption of the politicians in Washington. My words may not have seemed quite real at first, but the blood and the bombs and the torn bodies of our white brothers and sisters in Serbia seem real enough. And these things lend reality and cogency to my words. And as I said, it's unfortunate that it has to be that way. But an element of human nature seems to be that people's understanding doesn't become fully engaged. People won't take action on their understanding until they actually begin feeling the pain and realize that disaster is upon them, not around the corner or down the road, but on top of them. The things that I was warning about all during the 1970s, non-white immigration, changing demographics, declining school standards, racial trends, have hit enough people over the head now and drawn blood, have caused real pain, so that their understanding finally is becoming fully engaged. And what is happening in Yugoslavia now also ought to be causing a little pain among Americans who understand the things I've been talking about for so long. It ought to be causing a lot of Americans real distress to know that what is being inflicted on the Serbs is being done in our name. Jews like General Clark and Madeleine Albright are butchering our people and making self-righteous statements about it. But in the eyes of the world, it is all of America which is being blamed, and all of America which eventually will pay the penalty for the butchery. If you think about it for a minute, I believe that you will agree with me that my talking has left us a lot better off in this situation than would be the case if I hadn't been talking. The disaster would still be upon us, but there would be a lot less understanding than there is. People still haven't acted on any significant scale as a result of my warnings, but at least there is much more understanding, and that understanding provides the necessary basis for effective action in the future. It provides a direction for us so that when we do act, we will act correctly and effectively. Some of you may remember another prediction I made at the time the Jews launched their war against Serbia 2 months ago. I predicted that this war would turn out to be a big mistake for them. Specifically, in the March issue of the membership bulletin of the National Alliance, I wrote, and I quote, "The Jews and the Clintonistas misjudged badly both the character of the Serbs and the reaction of the rest of the world. At the very least, they will emerge from this foolish and bloody adventure with a drastic loss of prestige and credibility." End of quote. And in my radio broadcast 2 weeks ago, I again suggested that the Jews' enthusiasm for the New World Order had caused them to act prematurely in launching their latest war. Old-fashioned American patriotism, of the sort Bill Clinton and Jane Fonda were so contemptuous of when they were marching for Ho Chi Minh during the Vietnam War, may be almost dead, but it's not yet completely dead, and it may still bite the Jews as a result of their latest murder spree. More than that, our new patriotism, based on race instead of on geography or language or religion, is gaining ground. What is happening in Yugoslavia now gives our new patriotism a powerful boost. I've been talking for years about the need to broaden our sense of patriotism to include all of our brothers and sisters in Europe, And when the Jews actually kill our people, some of what I've been saying begins to take hold. Again, the importance of my talking is that it permits more people to understand these things when they happen than otherwise would be the case. The Jews thought that this business of bombing Serbia into line with their plans would be an easy and successful enterprise for them. They thought they had all the angles covered. After the sheep-like behavior of the Congress during the trial of Clinton, they figured they wouldn't have any opposition from the politicians. They already had gotten Clinton to promote one of their own creatures, General Wesley Cann Clark, ahead of the other generals and put him in charge of NATO. They already had gotten their own creatures in as Secretary of State and National Security Advisor and Secretary of Defense. They already had been using their mass media for the past couple of years to demonize the Serbs and prejudice the American people against them in their news reporting on the conflict in Bosnia. Well, they figured correctly that the politicians wouldn't oppose them, but it's clear that they were hoping for more support from the Yahoos than they're getting now. They figured they could bomb Belgrade into rubble, and the Yahoos wouldn't notice as long as it didn't interfere with their ball games. They figured they could drop cluster bombs on Serb hospitals and shoot up Serb passenger trains, and the American voters wouldn't care. After all, it's not Jews being killed, so what difference does it make? Isn't that the lesson we were supposed to learn from 50 years of Holocaust propaganda? Well, Jaime, one of these days you'll find out what difference it makes. You and Abe will be surprised when you find out how many of us haven't been spending all our time watching ball games. I'm sure you're already complaining among yourselves about how many Americans aren't supporting your effort to destroy Serbia. I'm sure that among yourselves, you're attributing this lack of support to anti-Semitism. Well, let me tell you, Abe and Jaime and Madeline and Wesley, mixed in with the anti-Semitism, there's also a little bit of understanding of what you're up to. Before you've finished in Serbia, there'll be even more understanding. I intend to do everything I can to increase that understanding. As for us, let us remember that the Jews will continue doing the sorts of things they always have done. They will continue pushing and pushing and pushing. They will continue their efforts to destroy our world, to remake our world in their image, and to control it. And they will continue making mistakes. And the understanding among our people must continue growing. I will continue to talk, and the Jews will continue to provide the pain which makes my talk real and effective. Talk and pain together lead to understanding. When the Jews make a mistake like they did in starting this war against Serbia, our people must understand what is happening and why. They must not be confused. They must be enraged, and their rage must have a direction. And then, one day soon, there will be meaningful action, cleansing action. That's the value of talk. Thanks for being with me again today.